Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the High Court in Belfast has quashed a Northern Executive's decision to proceed with the A5 road upgrade. We'll hear from the Infrastructure Minister. We'll also hear from a local MLA in West Tyrone. The family of a Donegal teenager murdered by loyalists over 50 years ago will receive undisclosed damages in a settlement reached over alleged security force collusion with the killers. Two non-compliances have been noted in a HICWA inspection at a community hospital in Remelton, and the Omagh bombing inquiry hears from a representative of the former RUCF Chief Constable Ronnie Flanagan. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we begin with the High Court in Belfast and the decision today to quash a Northern Executive decision to proceed with the A5 road upgrade. Mr Justice McLindon said he's aware his ruling would bring fresh anguish to the families of those who've lost loved ones on the road. However, he said the proposed scheme breaches elements of the North's 2022 Climate Change Act and the developments must be within the law. Niall McKenna, a representative of the Enough is Enough group, is disappointed with the decision.
Yeah, we're obviously disappointed by the decision. You know, I think the judgment itself narrates it most appropriately, where it says it will, you know, he admits that it will inevitably lead to more anguish among the families. We believe that to be quite correct.
Well, the North's Infrastructure Minister, Liz Kimmins, says she's determined that a safer A5 will be delivered. She was speaking in the Assembly this afternoon after the High Court decision. Minister Kimmins was asked by SDLP's infrastructure spokesperson and Foyle MLA Mark Durkin if she would consider legislative changes and to outline what steps she will take to ensure that the A5 is delivered without any further delay. She told MLAs this afternoon that she and her officials will very carefully consider today's 97-page judgment.
This is a very detailed judgment. I think it will take some time for both myself and my officials and legal team to go through the detail of that, to look at what the implications are and how we chart a way forward. This road needs to be built. We cannot allow any more lives to be lost, and I am determined that we do find a solution and we do find a way forward.
Mr. Durkin,
will the Minister, along with her executive colleagues, prepare emergency amending legislation to clarify the relevant section or sections of the Climate Change Act, an act that in its entirety was voted through by all in this House, preserving its core purpose but clarifying that it cannot be used to block action necessary to save life? Or has she another plan B?
Well, again, as I've said, I mean, I want to see a solution to this. We need to act in the immediacy, but it's important that we do this very, very thoroughly. This is a very detailed decision. The implications of that, we don't know at this stage, because I think it was maybe less than 3 hours ago that we got the judgment. So I think it would be remiss of me to start saying I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that without considering that in great detail. And I will be engaging with my legal team and officials on that in a very thorough manner, because, as I've said, this is the third time that there's been a legal challenge in relation to this road. Families are tired. Families want to see this built. And that's my priority.
And that was Minister Liz Kimmins there, Mark Durkin, Foyle MLA there as well. Well, West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says there is political will to have this road built. But speaking to Highland Radio News this afternoon, he said first and foremost, today is a devastating day for the families who've lost loved ones.
The consequences of today's judgment will be profound. Unfortunately, given what we have went through in the past, it is very likely that further lives will be lost on this road in its current dangerous state.
Is this a matter of going back to the drawing board, redrawing the plans, or can changes be made to help meet those climate targets that were outlined by Justice McLindon? Because it seems now we're going to go back into a cycle of more environmental assessments, more studies, more... This is going to add years onto this.
I hope that's not the case, but unfortunately we're just so bit depressed by what has happened today that it's hard to see how we proceed. I do know that there is a significant amount of support for the A5 across political parties and throughout the wider community to see this road fully delivered. So I want to see the Minister come to the table with a plan as to how we resolve these issues. And these issues are resolvable. They are resolvable. What is not resolvable is the loss of human life. And that has to be the priority in all that we do, and it has to be to the fore of our minds in whatever action is taken, that we protect people, ensure their safety, and ultimately do all we can within our gift as legislators and in the community to prevent people losing their lives on this road. Today, Donal, will be devastating for so many families, so many people that have suffered the worst possible consequences off this road, and it will be a considerable setback. But I want to reassure them, as with everybody, that we will continue to do anything and everything to try and get this road fully developed as intended.
In a statement this afternoon, Letterkenny Chamber says it's more than disappointed at the court's decision regarding this long-standing plan to upgrade a vital transport corridor and address safety concerns. Chamber President Jimmy Stafford says the A5 project is central to the Chamber's regional development strategy, stressing the upgrade is needed to save lives, reduce travel times and enhance the economic potential of the entire Northwest region. And there are longer versions of those interviews and more on that story, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. The family of a Donegal teenager murdered by loyalists over 50 years ago is to receive undisclosed damages in a settlement reached over alleged security force collusion with the killers. 16-year-old Henry Cunningham from Carndonagh was shot dead in August 1973 after UVF gunmen ambushed his work van near Randallstown in County Antrim. The family sued the British Ministry of Defence after it emerged that a weapon used in the killing had been stolen from an army barracks the previous year. The Irish News is reporting this afternoon that the terms of the settlement are confidential, with an undisclosed sum to be paid in damages without any admission of liability. Well, the family took the action 10 years ago this week when Henry's brothers Herbie and Robbie lodged court papers on the basis of documents uncovered by the Pat Finucane Centre. Herbie has since passed away, but Robbie was at the High Court in Belfast this morning to see the settlement formalised. 10 years ago, on June 25th, 2015, Robbie Cunningham spoke to Greg Hughes as they were lodging the papers for this case.
The documents that are found in the Pat Finucane Centre show that the British Army and the British government knew that the Loyalists were joining the UDR, and they were stealing the weapons from them. They done nothing about it.
Herbie, of course, was there. He was driving the van.
Herbie was driving the van on the day, and if it wasn't for him, there were six of us in the van. We would have been all slaughtered, and that was just the plain English of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Actually, they were on the bridge the evening before, and I was on the front seat. I switched seats that evening with Henry.
And was it? And I'm sure that makes you think too.
Yep.
Yeah. Was it you or Herbie that was grazed with a bullet as well? It was Herbie, wasn't it?
Yeah, Herbie got the bullet just cut his jumper on his arm.
But he had the wherewithal, even under fire, to steer the van to safety.
They punctured one of the wheels with the bullets. There was another fella, Packy Doherty, who was, the bullets came on the roof and the priest of the tin had him on the air. He spent 6 weeks in the Royal, in Belfast at the time as well, you know. So it was amazing that they weren't all, because they came in through the one screen and through the engine, and right through the roof, the floor of the van.
Yeah. So, how long do you think it will be before you'll get a response from the British government to your action, your allegations?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
You really, at this stage?
Yeah.
It's fingers crossed, is it?
Fingers crossed is right, yeah.
Well, that was Greg Hughes speaking to Robbie Cunningham 10 years ago this week on June 25th, 2015. The case was settled today. Two non-compliances have been noted in a HICWA inspection at Remelton Community Hospital. There were 28 residents at the centre when the inspection was carried out in October of last year. The report says residents and visitors gave very positive feedback regarding the staff and the care and services provided to them, but non-compliances were found in the areas of premises and personal possessions. In an addendum, management say measures have been taken to address some of the issues. Meanwhile, the HSE is appointing a design team which will review and design new bedroom accommodation within the centre. The plans will then be presented to HICWA next year for review and for consultation. The UMA bombing inquiry has been told that material is very difficult to get and extraordinary effort and significant resources are necessary to obtain it. 2 days of opening statements are being heard from bereaved families, victims, police and the Northern Secretary. The inquiry is examining if the real IRA bomb, which killed 29 people in August 1998, could have been prevented. Counsel to the inquiry, Paul Graney, told the inquiry chair that so far the pace has been too slow.
The speed of disclosure to the inquiry by material providers must increase. Sir, those are not mere words. The need that we have described must be given effect to.
Well, the North's chief constable at the time of the UMA bombing in August 1998 has pledged to engage fully and transparently with the inquiry. Opening statements were heard from a number of key policing figures today, including Ronnie Flanagan. The inquiry, as we said, is examining whether the bombing could have been prevented. Ian Skelt read out a statement on behalf of Mr. Flanagan today, reiterating an apology for causing upset years ago.
Sir Ronnie has heard the evidence during the personal statement hearings that the public dispute between him and the then police ombudsman was unwelcome and distracted from the focus being on the victims and their loss. This was not his intention. He is sorry for causing upset.
Israel has begun attacking what it says are Iranian government targets, including the headquarters of the Revolutionary Guards. It follows earlier strikes on the Fordo nuclear facility, which the US hit over the weekend and caused monumental damage, according to the US President Donald Trump. He's now suggested a regime change could happen in Tehran. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt insists that isn't a name for the current American administration.
If the Iranian regime refuses to give up their nuclear program or engage in talks, why shouldn't the Iranian people rise up against this brutal terrorist regime? That's a question the president raised last night. But as far as our military posture, it hasn't changed.
Well, fuel prices are expected to increase in the coming weeks as a result of what's happening. Oil prices have increased to a five-month high following the American attacks on Iran over the weekend. There are calls for the government to reduce taxes and excise on fuel. Kevin McPartland from the organisation Fuels for Ireland says the situation at present is very volatile.
Anybody who says that they can predict oil prices is a fool or a liar. Increase in crude prices today, they're at a five-month high. That has not yet been fully reflected in the pump prices because there is a lag of about 2 weeks from the crude prices to the retail price for petrol and diesel on forecourts and for home heating oil.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA have confirmed the fixture arrangements for next weekend's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarter-finals. But no doubt anyone involved with Donegal will not at all be happy with the decision made by the CCCC this afternoon. Donegal, who were paired with Monaghan in this morning's draw, will play their last eight fixture next Saturday, the 28th of June, at 4 o'clock in Croke Park. Jim McGuinness's side were the last to play on Sunday in the preliminary round and now find themselves in the first fixture of the quarterfinals on Saturday. The game will not be on national television, but it will be shown on the GAA streaming service. However, Highland Radio will, of course, have full live match commentary on Saturday from GAA headquarters. The other game as part of the first doubleheader is Tyrone's clash with Dublin. That's at 6:15. And then on Sunday, Meath will play Galway at 1:45 and Armagh will take on Kerry at 4. Well, as we know, Donegal and Monaghan met earlier in the Ulster campaign at the quarter-final stage, a game which Donegal won by 2 points. Former Donegal star forward Brendan Devaney is expecting another tight encounter between the sides this coming weekend.
It's maybe a pity we drew Monaghan. I think Meath, because we played Monaghan already, I think the Meath game would have been, I suppose, more exciting in terms of something new. But listen, it's going to be an all-Ulster tie and it's going to be a bit of a grind again. But this is a difficult one. That Monaghan team's flying at the minute. And listen, he had that 2-point chance to equalise against us in the Ulster Championship quarters. So, you know, there's been nothing in it in the last game and there won't be in this.
And there will, of course, be more from Brendan Devaney this evening on the DL Debate. His guests are Highland Radio pundit Brendan Kilcoyne, Irish News columnist Cathal O'Kane and Kevin Riley, Life GAA correspondent. And three Donegal players have been named on the GAA.ie's Team of the Week after excelling in the win over Louth. They're Oisin Gallan, Brendan McCall and Finbar Rorty. On to soccer. In the first division of the League of Ireland, Finn Harps are at home to the league leaders Dundalk this evening. Dundalk are still unbeaten after 19 games, but Harps did take a point off them in the last meeting between the two sides at Oriel Park. It's been 11 games since Harps last won, but the squad has been depleted in recent weeks with injuries and exams. Manager Kevin McHugh says they will continue to work hard and try to get results out of games.
We as a club and as a squad, we want to put demands on each other. We try and go out to win every game. Obviously, we're not going to win every game, but we go out with intention to try and win every game, and we'll see where that takes us. Because, as you can see, there's a lot of really good teams in this league. And on another night, yeah, you could be coming away from three, but you could be coming away with no-nighter at the same time.
This evening's match at Finn Park between Harps and Dundalk, just like all the other matches, kicks off at 7:45. Dermot Doherty will have updates here on Highland from the Balbuffet venue this evening. Also in the First Division, Bray at home to UCD, Cove face Kerry, Longford meet Athlone and Tradey host Wexford. In the Premier Division, Shelburne begin life without Damien Duff as they travel to Waterford this evening. Former Ireland international Joey O'Brien will take charge of the team for their trip to the RSC, which is one of five games in the top flight. After Friday's win over Shells, Derry City are back in the capital taking on St Patrick's Athletic. There's a Dublin derby at Dalymount Park where Bowes host league leader Shamrock Rovers. Bottom side Cork City host second place Drogheda United, and Galway United will face Sligo Rovers. Celtic legend John Clark has died at the age of 84. He was part of the side that went on to be known as the Lisbon Lions after they won the European Cup in the Portuguese capital by beating Inter Milan in 1967. The Scotland international also lifted six league titles, three Scottish Cups and five League Cups with the Parkhead club. And tonight marks the final round of games in Group B at the Club World Cup in the United States as Atletico Madrid take on leaders Botafogo. Second place PSG are level with Atletico on 3 points and they face Seattle Sounders. Both games kick off 8 o'clock at Irish time. Now in motorsport, Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan will this evening be reflecting on yesterday's Donegal International Rally success where they took a third title in a row. They had 20 seconds to spare in their Skoda Fabia over the Yaris of Marion Evans in second. Speaking on this morning's 9 till noon show, Callum said he is always looking to better himself.
Probably a more competitive nature I have. I always wanted to better myself. I always want to push on and try and get performance out of myself. When I seen these guys coming, the European guys coming to this event.
It's my backyard.
It kind of pushes me on a bit. I think it kind of showed that in the times compared to last year where we were a lot quicker on the stages this year than we were last year. Their pace just jumped up again. So, look, you want to race the quickest boys to push you on and see what you're capable of all the time.
It's also another Donegal success for Kerryman Noel O'Sullivan, who said winning Donegal is a special feeling.
I guess every year I come up, you want to win, and it might be a bit of greed, but the more you win, the more you want. And,
yeah, well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a special feeling winning these rallies, and it's a credit to Callum. A lot of guys came here this weekend. They all came hunting him down, they all came knocking on the door, but he never flinched all weekend, and he drove a superb rally, and it's a credit to him.
That interview with Noel and Callum is available now to watch back as part of the 9 till noon show in the playback section of HighlandRadio.com. And there's also plenty of audio reaction from many of the crews available on our site as well. To Formula One Offaly man Alex Dunn will take a massive step in his career this weekend. The 19-year-old will take part in Friday's practice session in the McLaren Formula One car at the Austrian Grand Prix. The development driver has won two F2 feature races this season and currently leads the driver's standings. Dunn will sit in for McLaren driver Lando Norris for Friday's hour-long FP1 session. And finally, on two wheels, there was a double podium for Rhys Irwin at Snetherton over the weekend as the Donegal man moves into second in the BSB Supersport Championship. He finished second in both races and also took a podium and now sits 12 points behind the championship leader, that is Luke Stapleford. And that's it from the sports desk for the moment. Don't forget the DL debate with Brendan Devaney will be live after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. A solicitor for families of those killed in the Criossail explosion says they feel a sense of relief following the decision by An Cumasúin Pleanála to overturn Donegal County Council's granting of planning permission for the redevelopment of the explosion site. 10 people were killed in the blast in October 2022. Permission had been given by the council in February to Vivo Shell Limited for the proposed development of a new service station, which would have seen the demolition of the existing building and the creation of a space for a memorial garden. However, that was overturned on Friday. Now, solicitor for the Criossail families, Damien Tansey, says those who lost loved ones are entitled to be involved in the future discussions on the development of a memorial.
You can imagine the relief that the families feel on hearing that on board Pleanála sided with them and upheld the appeals lodged on their behalf. As the families see it, to rebuild on the same plot where 10 cherished family members lost their lives, they see that as insulting and disrespectful. The memorial that was included as part of the development, our clients saw that as being nothing other than tokenism. And it comprised of 10 steel rods. And they saw that as being incredibly insensitive, cruel, callous and cold and tactless. Donegal County Council, in their wisdom, granted permission, despite the memorial being of that character.
The An Bord Pleanála, and to some extent I suppose Donegal County Council, can only consider planning matters, not feelings or emotions, but I think they did reference to the additional traffic of people wishing to visit the site.
Surely, at the very least and at the very minimum, the people who lost loved ones and the people who suffered catastrophic injuries are entitled to be consulted about the nature of the memorial, where it's to be located, whether it should be located on the site, whether it should be part of the development that might ultimately happen on this site. There's nothing to prevent the owners or the developers formulating and preparing a totally new application. And if that happens, I trust and expect that lessons will have been learned as a consequence of the recent experience.
And finally, the price of an average three-bedroom semi-detached home in Donegal has risen by 3.9%, according to a national survey by Real Estate Alliance. Meanwhile, the Q2 REA average house price index shows the average time taken to sell in Donegal is currently 4 weeks, with more. Here's Michaela Clark.
The average price of a three-bed semi in Donegal is €195,500, which is up from €190,000 in the last 3 months. Average Bondurm prices rose 2.5% this quarter to an average of €205,000, while prices in Milford during the period were up 5.6% to €190,000. The survey shows that across Donegal, 27% of purchasers were first-time buyers, while a total of 13% of sales in the county this quarter were attributed to landlords leaving the market. Additionally, agents across the county reported that the BER ratings of properties saw A-rated properties command 30% price increases in comparison to comparable C-rated properties. Paul McElhinney of REA McElhinney Milford says the average house price remains relatively low, but new build properties are slowly coming to the market and they are at a higher level, which is starting to increase the average price point.
Weather forecast dry with just the odd passing shower for now, but outbreaks of rain and drizzle will spread from the west through the evening, accompanied by some hill and coastal mist and fog. It'll be cloudy tonight with scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle spreading from the west, some hill and coastal mist and fog developing as well in lows of 12 to 16 degrees Celsius, moderate to fresh southwest winds. Tomorrow morning mostly cloudy, some patchy light rain and drizzle. It'll become mainly dry tomorrow afternoon. Some brighter sunny spells will break through at times, highs of 15 to 19 in mostly southwest to west moderate winds, fresh for a time near the western coast. Those winds will decrease light to moderate later on in the day. Looking at the headlines for this Monday afternoon and evening, the High Court in Belfast has quashed a Northern Executive decision to proceed with the A5 road upgrade. Mr Justice McLindon said he's aware his ruling would bring fresh anguish to the families of those who've lost loved ones on the road. Well, the North's Infrastructure Minister says she's determined that a safer A5 will be delivered. Minister Liz Timmins was asked by SDLP infrastructure spokesperson and Foyle MLA Mark Durkin if she'd consider legislative changes and to outline what steps she'll take to ensure the A5 is delivered without any further delay. She said she'll make no rash decisions, she'll make no rash pronouncements, and she and her officials will carefully consider the 97-page judgment. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Check all today's news on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 23rd of June. The death has taken place of Michael McGeoghan, 49, Steelstown Village, Derry, formerly of River Row, Moville. Michael's remains will repose at his home in Steelstown Village from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Steelstown, followed by interment in Drung Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Pauline Madlone, Main Street, Rathmullen, reposing at her home from 7 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass in St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, on Wednesday morning at 11, followed by private cremation. Family flowers only, please. No wake. The house is strictly private, please. The death has occurred of John Patterson, formerly of Meanlougher, Castle Finn. Funeral tomorrow in Dunockmore Presbyterian Church, Liscooley, with service at 2:30, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family and friends welcome at Hood & Company Undertakers Funeral Home, 9 St Eugene Street, Newton Stewart, this evening between 6 and 9. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, Knocknamona, Letterkenny. The death has occurred of Rosaline McCauley, née Crawford, Sesha, Castle Finn. Her remains will repose at her late residence until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from her residence on Wednesday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Castle Finn, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in St Columbus Church Cemetery, Dunnyloop. House private to family only, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Cancer Research and Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Kathleen O'Donnell, née Shields, 33 Ballyrain Park, Letterkenny, Portsallan Fanad, and previously of Ard O'Donnell. She'll repose at her home in Letterkenny until 9 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow in St. Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. And the death has occurred of Hugh Gormley, Maharaboy, Rafoe. Hugh's remains are reposing at his late residence with rosary tonight at 9. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 8:30, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in St Mary's Church Cemetery, Cock Hill, Buncrana. Funeral Mass can be viewed online via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Patients' Comfort Fund, Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home, Buncrana, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.